There's so many good taglines for this movie. What's up? This movie's on up. Two morons, one corpse, and the plot thickens. I'm Dave, joined by my other moron, Mr. Ryan.
Rather be a moron than a corpse, I suppose.
He is Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, two morons, one corpse, and the plot thickens. That is from a lively comedy about a guy who isn't. Just another tagline from the same movie. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will get a Movies on Up prize package delivered possibly on the weekend, even if you're at Bernie's. This week, The Lion King comes out, starring Beyonce, Childish Gambino, Seth Rogen, Puma, all the characters that you love from The Lion King. Lion King comes out this week.
Yes.
So we got to thinking, it's a big moment of Lion King. Oh, when Mufasa dies, he's like, Dad, wake up, wake up.
That's a big moment in a lot of Disney movies, yeah. When the parents die.
Yeah. So we thought, hey, what are our favorite dead dad movies? Movies where the dad dies. Not going to lie, when I first suggested it, Ryan was like, that's kind of dark, but okay. And I thought like, oh, it's a stupid list. You cannot be dark on a stupid list. But then I did my list and I got pretty emotional. And I thought, some of these movies are bummers.
Yeah, dead dad will do that to you.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about dead dads. I'm going to try to keep it light, but it might get kind of dark, like Ryan predicted. But Ryan, your number five favorite dead dad movie.
It's not necessarily a dark movie. There's certainly some stakes to this. An uncanceled apocalypse level stakes in my number five, which is Stephen S. DeKnight's Pacific Rim Uprising from last year, starring John Boyega, Scott Eastwood, and Kaylee Spani. This one's less about the actual dead dad, but rather the legacy that the dead dad left behind, specifically in the Pentecost legacy. And admittedly, Dave and I are both shills for John Boyega and Pacific Rim in general, but this movie fits the criteria. And it also has giant robots fighting not only kaiju, but also giant robots fighting giant robots. So, of course, it was going to get a mention. I'm not sure that any of the rest of the movies on my list, save perhaps my number one, really deal with a son trying to live up to the legacy of his father, a legacy that he doesn't really want. Stacker Pentecost was the hero of the Battle of the Breach in the first movie.
He canceled the apocalypse.
He did. And he called his shot. He said, tonight we cancel the apocalypse. And that's exactly what that beautiful son of a bitch did. That heroism and sacrifice is a huge part of Uprising, as Boyega's Jake comes to grips with being the son of that guy who canceled the apocalypse, thereby saving the entire world, which is a pretty high bar to live up to, at least I would imagine so. I like these movies, and I think they've done a decent job of crafting a story that could be made into a trilogy. They've set it up. It's right there. I'm not sure that we'll ever get it, but nobody comes to see these movies because of the story. But nonetheless, they have done an excellent job in creating excuses for giant robots and monsters to battle each other, and I'm here for it.
I'm angry I didn't think of this because it fits the bill, and
yes,
I love this
does.
Movie. I absolutely love this movie. Kaylee Spani, as a side note, a little bonus news, she was just cast as the lead in the Craft remake, which makes me interested in the Craft remake. I thought she was great in this movie. I love this movie. Yeah, the dad dies on the first one, but it's the aftermath of... Yeah. So yeah,
and it's about the death of
it is
Stacker Pentecost.
Yeah, I love this movie. Mad I didn't think of it. My number five, not as fun, a lot less giant robots fighting giant monsters. It is from 1993, written and directed by Bruce Joel Rubin, starring the amazing Michael Keaton. It is My Life, co-starring Nicole Kidman, Bradley Whitford, Queen Latifah. It's not, you know, in Pacific Rim Uprising, you know, because they get mentioned in the same sentence
all
a lot.
The time.
It's not the kid living up to the dad's legacy. It's the dad leaving his legacy. Michael Keaton has terminal cancer. His wife is pregnant, not going to make it until the baby's born. So it's him filming stuff to say to his child to be present in their life. And with Michael Keaton, he's charming. This isn't Multiplicity Michael Keaton. He still has that charm. He still has that charisma. it's a dark movie. It's lighthearted still. It's a sad movie because he doesn't get to see his child be born, but he gets to be in his child's life. So it's just a really cool idea, because if you're planning out the first 18 years of somebody's life, like, what do you want to say? This does that. But it does a really, really good job. So he's the dad that dies in this one for his unborn child. And it's just really, really good. I know it made my list when we did favorite Michael Keaton movies, because it's one of his best performances in a career with a ton of them. And I feel like it's one of his lesser appreciated movies, because it's not what you know Michael Keaton for. But it's really, really good, and he delivers.
Once upon a time, this list was supposed to be a James Earl Jones list, as he was the voice of Mufasa, the Lion King's dead dad, spoiler alert. So I figured it would be appropriate to put a James Earl Jones movie on this list, and I didn't want it to be The Lion King. So I went to 1989's Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner, Amy Madigan, and the aforementioned James Earl Jones, directed by Phil Alden Robinson. While he doesn't play Costner's dad, he is the writer of a book that helped create a division between Costner's Ray and his father, John. He's also one of the early allies in the undertaking of converting Ray's livelihood into a baseball stadium for ghosts. And while John ends up teaming with Jones's man and his father's favorite baseball player, Shoeless Joe Jackson, it never seems apparent to Ray that he's on a trip to eventually reconcile with his father. It's about providing, or at least he thinks it's about providing, these old-time players a chance to redeem themselves, like Shoeless Joe, or live out a dream of getting an at-bat in a game, as was the case with Moonlight Graham, or just giving people a chance to relive their innocence by watching a baseball game played in a cornfield. By the end, it's not those reasons, it's regret that the field was built. Never having the opportunity to make amends with a loved one before their passing, and the ability to use a shared love, in this case for baseball, to get a second chance at that. Just like the players got a second chance at their game. This is a movie that is referenced for years and years in Hollywood. It's just the cornfield movie. It's one of the first ones that I thought of when dead dads come to mind. That specter of his father plays so much into the movie. And they didn't have a great relationship. And there's a little bit of animosity there. But by the end of it, when the catcher takes his mask off, it's like, oh, that's his dad. And they're able to kind of bond and reconcile, ease his pain. So many folks in the movie, Kevin Costner, oh, I got to ease this guy's pain or ease that guy's. It's really about easing his own by being able to reconcile with his father. So it was one of the more on-the-nose ones that came to mind. But I thought it was appropriate, and it had James Earl Jones.
This was on my also-ran. I completely forgot James Earl Jones was in it. Can other people see the ghosts, do you think?
Yeah.
They're not just playing along?
No, I don't think so.
For the novelty of watching an imaginary baseball game in a cornfield.
Would you play along for that?
Maybe.
And
that sounds up my alley.
Would you get in a car and drive there and wait in that traffic?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking is, like, I mean, look at how many people donate to Kickstarters and stuff. Here you have, like, a mentally ill dude, you know, what, do you want to support that? That's like the Kickstarter of,
yeah,
the
I'd
90s.
Give him, I'd give him $5, but I wouldn't get my car and drive there into the middle of Iowa. No, thank you.
My number four, it's hard to be trapped on an island because you can always just get off of it. You can always just take a boat or maybe
build a raft,
maybe a plane if they exist in your world. But one thing that would turn you away from doing that would be watching your father drown when you're a child and giving you an everlasting fear of the water, such as Truman Burbank had in 1998's The Truman Show, directed by Peter Weir, written by Andrew Nichols, starring Jim Carrey. This one might be a stretch because it's not his real dad, but he doesn't know that. He's got a dead dad his whole life. Yeah, he comes back, but he's been dead until then.
As far as he knew.
Yeah, and that's such a character part. Pentecost's legacy carries on with him in two. So, like, yeah, okay, his dad's not in that movie, but he's very present there.
In Truman Show 2.
In Truman Show, you know, his dad's not there, but he's very present because that's where his fear of water came from. This overwhelming fear that keeps him trapped on this island and makes him not want to explore the world all came from watching his dad die. So I thought it counted because it's relevant. Like, he doesn't know that. So yeah, I thought, okay, this is a dead dad movie.
I'm not going to argue with you. It's a good movie.
Oh, I love this movie so much.
I'm cool with it being on the list. My number three, on the one hand, it sounds like a real bummer. And the subject matter, not just a dead dad, but dead parents and crippling depression as a result, is actually played a little bit lighter than you would think in Mike Mills' Beginners from 2010, starring Ewan McGregor, Christopher Plummer, and Melanie Laurent. In the case of Ewan's Oliver, his relationship with his father, played by an amazing and Oscar-winning Christopher Plummer, was actually great at the time of his death. It wasn't necessarily great the whole time, but they were able to, unlike Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams, they were able to reconcile before his passing, which sends Oliver into a paralyzing depression. And through a series of flashbacks, we're able to see how they became close after the death of Oliver's mom and his father's subsequent coming out as a gay man. There's a lot for him to sort through, and while he does a good job of coming to grips with who his parents were as people, not just as his parents, he can't seem to function at all, or very well at all, without them. He spends the rest of the movie learning lessons from the flashbacks on how to live his life and what he should take from his father in the last couple of years of their time together. It's actually got a lot of light moments in it, which is maybe unsurprising, given Mills' previous best-known work, Thumbsucker, which doesn't deal with the death of parents, but it's still lighter than you would expect. It's kind of a smaller movie that Ewan's really good in as well. Said Christopher Plummer won an Oscar for it. McGregor's just as good. This one didn't come to mind immediately, but again, one of the more on-the-nose ones. We do get to see Christopher Plummer in a lot of the movie. I mean, he dies relatively early in it, but through flashbacks, we get to see a lot of it. So he's a character that is present throughout really the entirety of the movie. He gives a great performance, and it's a really, really well-made movie.
This was on my radar. I like this movie a lot. This I associate with this. I don't remember the name of the movie. It had Adam Scott and Elizabeth Banks, and then there was an old dude that lived across the street from an old lady. Something Lovely, I think. I could look it up, but I'm not going to because it's irrelevant. There was that phase of like old people love stories, and this one, I like this movie. My number three sounds like some heavy material on the surface. It's a father-son are taken to a concentration camp and doomed to imminent death. Beneath that, it's some dark material. It is a father and son taken to a concentration camp and doomed to imminent death. But in 1997... Roberto Benigni's Life is Beautiful turned it into a somewhat lighthearted, enjoyable movie with a downer of an ending. It is father and son at a concentration camp and him doing everything he can to make sure his son does not understand the situation and turns it into a game. And it's this whole time in this hellscape of a camp, him convincing his son that it's a game and him at the end, not to spoil 1997's Best Picture winner nominee. I don't know if it won. I think it won. You know, he gets walked off to his death, and he tells his son to hide to win the game, hide in this box, as he's walked away and murdered. And his son comes out of the box to a tank and is excited that he wins the tank and excited to see his mom and brag about how he won the game without knowing that his father was just shot in the head and executed. So yeah, it's a little dark.
Did not win Best Picture that year.
He won Actor.
Yes, he won Actor. It won Best Score and Best Foreign Language Movie, which that should have done it right there. No foreign language movie.
Yeah, so I mean it's a good movie. It's a really, really dark movie, but he's really fun. He does a good job of making this dark movie enjoyable. Because he is really fun to watch. It's so lighthearted, and it's, as a dad, it's a heavy movie. Like, it hits hard. It's rough, but it's really, really good. And if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch.
That was the Shakespeare in Love year. As soon as we said it, I was like, oh, I don't think they got that one right. And my number two, I fucking love. It's a relatively recent movie. It's from 2017, and I've recently taken into trying to fit it on every list that I can. It was directed by Ben Howling and Yolanda Romke. It is Cargo, starring Martin Freeman, Simone Landers, and Anthony Hayes. I'm pretty sure that this made my end of the year list last year, because I think that's when it hit Netflix in the U.S. Rarely in a dead dad movie is the dad the protagonist. There is one notable example from the history of this show, which I was waiting to be the tagline. I don't believe that it is. But Freeman
Making
manages.
Bernie's?
No, a ghost dad.
Oh. Can we refilm the tagline?
If you want, we can do that. But Freeman manages in that role wonderfully. Freeman's Andy is bitten by his zombified wife early in the movie. And his sole goal for his remaining time on Earth and his remaining time on our screen is to find someone to care for his infant daughter. His motivation is so incredibly powerful, and his performance matches that. We get to see him struggle against the zombie turn. And for a movie with a sense of certainty to it, you mentioned Life is Beautiful. There's certainly a sense of certainty to that. We know where this story is going to end. We know where the story ends in Cargo. But the man is literally and figuratively the walking dead. It still manages to be incredibly tense. And I think that's a credit to not only Freeman, but Ramke, who wrote the movie. Australia's turned out some really good horror movies over the past couple years. And this one, I absolutely love. Martin Freeman is incredible in it. It's really, I don't want to say it's thematically similar to The Road, but that's a movie
it's
that...
close.
Yeah, that... I could see coming up in this kind of a list, spoiler alert, but you've got this post-apocalyptic father who cares nothing for anything else in the world except for caring for their child, which is all they have at that point. And in the case of Martin Freeman's Andy, he absolutely knows that he has a set amount of time to accomplish his life's goal, and it's kind of a race against the clock for him to do that. I think it's a great watch.
Yeah, it's one of the best short movies I've ever seen. The original, that was only like 10 minutes. It's phenomenal. I didn't know how they would pull it off as a full length, but they delivered. It came out May of last year, so about a little over a year ago. I really, really like this movie. Speaking of Ghost Dad, I'm sure I knew this, but you know what blows my mind every time is when I realize who directed it? Sidney Poitier directed Ghost Dad. I'm sure I've discovered that a dozen times in my life.
Academy Award winner, but not for Ghost Dad.
Yeah, I'm sure I've discovered that a million times in my life, but it still blows my mind, and it's like new every time. My number, whatever, 2-ish. We did an episode on this movie this year. I love this movie. I love the performances. I love everything about this movie, and who wouldn't want Ewan McGregor and Albert Finney as your dad? From 2003, directed by Tim Burton, written by John August. It is Big Fish. This is about a guy reconciling with his dad before his dad's death and trying to get to know his dad. And I don't want to go too much on it because we just did an episode a couple months back when Dumbo came out. I think that was March or so. But it's so good. I love this movie. Albert Finney gives such a good performance, and he's so good in this movie. And Ewan McGregor gives such a good performance, and he's so good in this movie. So the character of Ed Blum is very well represented with two fantastic performances, and then Billy Crudup, Jessica Lange, Alison Lohman. It's such a good movie, and it's about, I think a lot of people can relate to this. Maybe their dad wasn't the storyteller that Ed Blum was.
Few probably were.
Yeah, so many people have heard stories from their dad, and you know, like, oh, that's a bit embellished.
It's a big fish.
Yeah. So this, I think a lot of people can relate to this movie. And it's just, it's such a good movie. I love this movie. And it was one of the first ones to pop in my mind when it was, oh, dad movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big Fish.
And I kind of knew to leave this one off the list because I knew it would be on yours. But the scene where Billy Crudup realizes his dad was who he claimed to be and kind of the relief, the joy. That's a great scene. The
twins,
death scene.
Yeah. Oh, the death scene is one of my, that's one of my favorite movie scenes ever. Him describing his death like that. Mm-hmm. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, that's one of the most powerful just scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
It is. It's a fantastic movie. It was the second movie that came to mind. Field of Dreams was the third. And the first movie that came to mind when I thought about dead dads, I had dreams of starting my list with. I was going to start out strong with A New Hope because in 1977, that is a dead dad movie. You've got this plucky little fella, Luke, just wanting to run off, save a princess, and become a Jedi like his father before him. We didn't find out until years later that Vader is Luke's dad. He's not dead, so I guess it's not a dead dad movie. But a scant 38 years later, we did get a dead dad movie from a galaxy far, far away. And that is my number one. It is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, from 2015 already. Jesus. Directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver, and his dad, Harrison Ford. When I started thinking about Star Wars, I was like, oh, of course. The Force Awakens is very much about Han Solo and Han Solo's legacy. Good, bad, or indifferent. And much in the way that Jake Pentecost is rebelling against the legacy of his hero general father.
Kylo takes it a little bit further.
Admittedly, he does. He does.
Pump the brakes a little, Kylo.
But he's very much, Jake Pentecost does not use the name Pentecost. Ben Solo does not use the name Ben Solo anymore. He uses that Kylo Ren name. And when he kills Han Solo there in the Starkiller base, that is not only a giant moment for him in that movie, but it's also sort of the catalyst of what his character would become over the next couple movies. There's dead dad fallout that doesn't just happen in there when Chewbacca gets pissed and goes into beast mode and just starts mowing people down. It's what it's going to do to the character of Ben Solo. And if you're a fan of the saga at all, I'm sure that the death of Han Solo, we were kind of expecting. Ford had famously wanted Solo to be killed off in Jedi, and it was widely speculated. Only agreed to come back for this movie to get the death scene that he wanted 30-something years later. And I talked about seeing Endgame in theaters and the audible gasps that you hear in the third act of that movie. There were plenty in the theater for Force Awakens, most of which involved Han Solo. His return to the Falcon, him and Chewie were home. That's a outstanding scene, his reunion with Leia. But I don't think any were louder when he goes out to the catwalk to meet his son. Star Wars has always had interesting relationships between the father and the son at the forefront, and I don't think we're done with that heading into this year's Rise of Skywalker. Most of the time we know Han Solo, we don't know him as a dad, and we don't even really see him as a father in this movie. We just know he is the father of at least one character. And watching that scene play out, Adam Driver's a hell of an actor. And to watch his performance in that scene, dastardly scene, that son of a bitch, but a great performance. You can see the turmoil on his face. And even after he does it, you're really not sure. He's trying to project that, yeah, that's right, I just did this, I just killed Han Solo, but you never fully believe it. And I think that kind of adds some complexity to that character, which makes it an interesting character.
This was on my list, but I left it off for obvious reasons.
Because it was on my...
Yeah. I mean, it was not on my list. It was on the radar when I was doing this, but I left it off. It was either this or Jedi, and I figured it would be this between the two for sure.
Yeah.
My number one, it's a light movie, but the dead dad part is great. It's hard to explain. It's a moment in the movie that I don't think you expect, and I don't know how to talk about it because I don't know that a lot of people have seen this movie. I feel like a lot of people have missed it, and I don't really want to spoil the dead dad part because I think it's a super powerful scene.
But he's going to die because he's on this list.
Yeah, from 2013, written and directed by Richard Curtis. It is about time. Domhnall Gleeson has the ability to time travel back to certain points in his life, and I mean, I guess it's not spoiling too much. His dad does die. His dad's, yes, Bill Nye.
Has cancer, we find out.
Yeah.
Fairly early.
So he passes away, but due to the being able to time travel, who his dad also could time travel. Mm-hmm. So it's not a secret between those two that they can. So he can time travel back and play ping pong with his dad after he's passed away, and his dad knows what's going on. Like,
How many times have we had this conversation before?
Yeah, he comes back and, you know, he knows that his son's there to spend time with him because he died. And then something happens that changes the rules and you can't go back past a certain point at some time. So here he's been blessed where he had to say goodbye to his dad in real life, but yet he can go back and keep saying goodbye and keep spending time with him. And he's taking it for granted. And now there's a point to where you're going to lose that and you don't get to just spend time with him anymore. So you have to say goodbye again.
And this time for good.
For good, to your living dad, who's your dead dad. So it's such a good scene. And I cry at a lot of movies. But I don't know that I've ever cried as hard as I did at this movie. And I mean, I've mentioned it before. Like, I watched this right after Christmas, after talking to my brother who was depressed because he thought it was going to be his last Christmas. So I hung up the phone with him and then put this movie on. So I wasn't really prepared for it. So yeah, it's a dead dad movie. The dead dad isn't what drives him, because there's a lot to it before the dad dies.
Right.
But you get to see how important his dad is to him and how hard it is to say goodbye. Even when you've gotten extra time, he doesn't just get to say it once, and it doesn't get any easier. So it's really, really good. I love this movie so much. If you have not seen About Time, please, it's a goddamn motherfucking masterpiece. I think that was on the poster.
I think that's at least what we've referred to it. If it's underseen, it's not for lack of trying on our part. It does make quite a few lists. This one, I didn't want to put it on, not because it doesn't belong there, or not because it wouldn't be probably the number one movie on my list, but you're right. It's hard. This movie is so great, and it's so impactful that the more you talk about it, at least in my opinion, the more you're robbing someone of that experience to see it the first time.
Because there's a lot of good surprises in it.
Yeah. It's a wonderful movie. I do recommend this to people often, and I can recall the first time I did it, and I didn't mention anything about the deaths. The next day after the fella, I let him borrow my copy, and he was like, "You motherfucker. You could have warned me." And I said, "Yeah, but then you wouldn't have had that experience." So I didn't want to put it on this list, but because you did it, it absolutely belongs on there. Great movie about loss. And really, outside of Big Fish, About Time, The Lion King, the only other one that I didn't put on here is a movie that I talk about a lot, and it is The Princess Bride, because Inigo Montoya,
yeah,
you killed my father, prepare to die. That is his only motivation in the movie, and I love the movie.
I had Lion King, Field of Dreams, Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
I like that one. That's the last Wes Anderson one I like. Mm-hmm. And Death at a Funeral, both of them. That's the dad's funeral they're at. I'm sure there's some I missed. I got a top five that I loved.
Yeah.
And I kind of just stopped because I could have kept digging. I didn't. I didn't really want to because I was so happy with those five that I liked. And I was getting kind of depressed.
Yeah.
So I laid off it. But next week, we get back to lighter fare. Less Dead Dad's favorite Hollywood movies.
Where Hollywood is integral.
Integral to the part, spelled wrong in the Google Doc. Because I don't know how to spell integral.
I probably didn't notice.
Yeah, it's underlined. That's the only way I know.
Oh.
Because if I had to respell it again, I would spell it the same way I did it,
just
even though
consistent.
I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
So if you know how to spell integral, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com. But yeah, next week it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood comes out. So we're doing our favorite Hollywood movies, where Hollywood is crucial to the plot. And the week after that, favorite Jason Statham movies, I'm pretty excited about. I know my number one and two already. I think if you've listened to the show at all, you know what'll be get a lot of praise from both of us. But that'll be a fun list to do because he's been in a lot of stuff. Not a lot of good stuff, but he's been in some stuff. And then we have the rest of the summer, which I still have to plan out. We'll be back next week talking some Hollywood movies. And until then,
keep it up. Do you want to redo the bit for Ghost Dad?
Joking.
Okay, that's fine.